instead of, quote, leveraging common experiences and emotions without assuming a common belief system, or seeking to draw in his audience by appealing to common fears and joys, challenges, and the need for love, what does Paul do? Paul specifically focuses on Christian theology and biblical doctrine, believing that by first correcting their misguided belief system, he would lay the framework by which they would reject their religious basis for salvation and accept Jesus. It's been said the best way to confront a lie is to provide the truth. While the text is clear, Paul's arguments were hard to discredit. You know, he presents evidence. We do see a mixed reaction, don't we? We're told that only some of the Jews were persuaded, and a great multitude of the Greeks joined Paul and Silas, which leads to another important point we can't overlook. Teaching the Bible, using the Bible as your method of evangelism, in order to reach a religious culture, what did it do? It actually polarized Paul's audience. The text is clear. While a great multitude of the Greeks joined, the way the verse is structured presents the inescapable reality that a great multitude of the Jews chose not to join. Understand, a Bible-centric, a Bible-teaching ministry, this model will not appeal to everyone. Paul used it. Did it appeal to everyone? No, it didn't. As a matter of fact, in this instance, the Word of God only served to parse the crowd, revealing each group's inner intentions. Based upon their reaction to God's word, the Greeks were seen to be genuine seekers, with the Jews being nothing more than religious pretenders. You see, this reality is one of the main reasons seeker-friendly churches avoid teaching the Bible. As we see illustrated in this passage, teaching the Bible yields one of two reactions, right? It either forces a person out of their religious comfort, or it forces that person out of your church. Hebrews 4 verses 12 describes the word of God as living and powerful, but also as being sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The reason this is the case is that the Bible's message, the reason it divides, the reason it spawns one of two reactions, leaving behind my religious fundamentalism or leaving the church, why it does this is that the Bible's message for the seeker, the Bible's message for the unchurched, is brutally honest. The Bible's clear, right? Apart from a saving relationship with Jesus, you're lost in your sins, alienated from God, and condemned to hell as a consequence. The Bible doesn't ease people in. It calls people out. The Bible doesn't placate to your situation. It calls you to account. The Bible condemns both religious moralism and worldly relativism alike. Sure, the Bible tells the seeker, God loves you just the way that you are. But the Bible is radically honest that his plan is not to leave you that way. God's desire is that you repent of your rebellious lifestyle, that you die to whatever it is you presently are, and allow him to transform you more into the image and likeness of his son Jesus. That's the message of the gospel. The reality. The Bible does not present a populist message. It can't be packaged for the masses because the truth, it's offensive. The truth is divisive. A seeker either responds and accepts Jesus, or they get upset, call you names, and leave. Which is why the seeker-friendly model avoids truth in order to successfully appeal to a larger audience. Let me share with you what is written. The church that I'm not going to name but was the subject of our conversation. Let me read from you what they have listed on their website under the What to Expect section of their church. If you're going to visit, this is what you can expect. Quote, "We believe God calls us to pursue him just as we are, inside and out. So we nurture a casual, fun, and inviting atmosphere. As our guest, you can check out our services without intrusion and begin your spiritual journey at your own pace. No pressure, just encouragement." Sounds nice. Matter of fact, it sounds like it might have come straight off of a brochure for a Dr. Phil summer camp. But the reality, this idea that you can pursue God just as you are, that's not true. By definition, you cannot pursue God unless you first repent. You're going the other direction, opposite of where God is. In order to pursue God, to even start a journey, you have to stop and about face and accept that you are on the path to hell. This is not seeker friendly. It lulls the seeker into a false self-confidence. And yet, while these churches find themselves overflowing on Sunday morning, I'm convinced that there is an unintended consequence to this particular ministry model. In the South, there is a huge segment of the population who want church to satisfy a compulsion to feel spiritual without the actual challenge to be spiritual. I say that as a lifelong Southerner. Born and raised, I'm not a transplant. I've seen it firsthand. In the South, we have a culture of people who want to feel spiritual without being challenged to be spiritual because most Southerners are religiously inclined, exactly like these Thessalonians. But they're pagans in practice. We might call them Sunday Christians. Ever heard the term? They feel a compulsion to go to church because their parents went to church, and their grandparents went to church, and their great-grandparents went to church. It's what we do on Sunday mornings. We go to church, and then we watch football. It's the South. Football on Saturday, church Sunday morning. We wrap up the rest of the weekend with more football. It's just how we roll. But here's the deal. Attending a church, if you're this person, that specifically targets unbelievers, it has the perfect appeal. You see, church designed for the unchurch fosters the perfect environment for the lukewarm Christian, the Christian in name only, to thrive. This type of church. Because it doesn't teach the Bible. It allows a person to satisfy this cultural compulsion to feel like a good Christian. You know, I have stimulating worship and entertaining programming, helpful antidotes, service opportunities, etc. But this brand of ministry never forces that person to ever face weightier matters when it comes to what it means to be a Christian. Sermons that tackle topics like sin, repentance, judgment, what it means to be holy. Which leads me back to my opening. Because the primary focus of our Sunday service is not necessarily creating a comfortable environment for the unchurched, but is instead focused on the development of healthy Christians living genuine lives transformed by a real Jesus through the faithful teaching of God's word, because he told us that's the way to go about doing that. The person who gravitates to the seeker church experience is simply, I don't think, going to find Calvary 3:16 all that appealing. Here's the reality. I'm not fearful of the seeker-friendly church moving in next door for one basic reason. We don't appeal to the same person at all. We don't even appeal to the same crowd. While the people who might gravitate their direction wouldn't find our pews comfortable for very long, it's also a reality that the people our church appeals to, that church doesn't appeal to because they see right through the charade. Go out on a limb. I think it's why many of you might be here. And you know what? It's okay. I'm all right with that. Because biblically speaking, as a church, we're doing exactly what God has called us to do. If people come, if they don't, it doesn't matter. For we have to be faithful first to our pastor, and that's Jesus. What does the Bible do? The Bible divides a religious culture into those who are genuine Christ followers and those who are simply playing Christians. It took the synagogue of religious, spiritually inclined people. What did it do? Cut them right in half. A group of Greeks that found what Paul was saying dynamic, who were hungry for the word, who wanted something real, who was sick of religion, and a group of Jews who were more interested in playing a game. Honestly, I'm okay with the fact that our philosophy of biblical teaching yields such a result. And you know why I'm okay with it? I'm okay with it because Calvary 3:16 is not just being the church God has called us to be, but appeals, is filled with like three groups of awesome people. As a matter of fact, because we teach the Bible, it kind of guarantees that the people who sit here and stay here fit into one of three camps, which, by the way, is exactly what the church was designed to do and who the church was designed to reach. First, we're filled with Christians serious about their faith. Now, don't get me wrong, you're not perfect. You're far from it. And that's part of the process. Knowing that I am, accepting that I am, but being serious about walking with Jesus. This person is looking for a church that teaches God's word because they know that God's word is the only way I can grow in godliness. It's the only way I can change. It's the only way I can be transformed. When you teach the Bible, you will attract serious believers, genuine Christians. Secondly, if you teach the Bible, you're also going to appeal to a crowd of Christians who have all but given up on church, which I like it. Like, this is a person who's looking for a church that has kind of like said, screw all the bull, and we're going to do what the Bible just tells us to do. Forget about the parade. Like, if I want to be entertained, Dave Matthews throws a much better concert. Like, if entertainment is what I'm pursuing, and it's the lights and the fog machines, whatever, I'll go see you too and pay $60. Because I don't care how much money you have as a church, you're not going to compete with that. They're better at it. The world is better at entertaining in that regard. See, if you've gotten to the point where you're like, I just want something real, something genuine, I'm craving just something authentic, and you come to a church that teaches the Bible in a real way, it appeals to something. I know, because I've talked to some of you, that the reason you're here is that you had given up on church. And then you came here, and you started sitting in one of these pews or tables or high tops, and you started being fed in a way that you had never been fed before, being taught in a way you had never been taught before, and a light bulb goes off. Wait a second. It's not the church that I had a problem with. It was that brand of church that I had a problem with. And this is hitting the sweet spot, man. And why? Because that's what it's designed to do. Now, I do think there's a third group of people that we appeal to. Once again, our ministry philosophy is that we believe that it's our job to equip Christians to go reach the world. Our job on a Sunday morning is not necessarily to reach the world. It's to reach you and equip you so that you can go reach the world. It's not church for the unchurched. We are very much church for the churched. We want Christians to be equipped, because versus bringing them here or sending out an army, I think that's a better effective strategy. Now, I do think that we appeal to a seeker that's genuinely looking for truth. This person is repelled by a church playing games. They might not be a believer, but they recognize that using slick marketing techniques or candy to earn confidence is a game. They want a church experience that doesn't specifically emulate as its core mission the world or seeks to replicate the world. They're sick of the world. They want some place, some person bold enough to speak truth.